The Lord be with you. The word of the Lord comes to us this morning from Romans 8. Now, if Romans is the cathedral of the Christian faith, and each verse is like a stained glass window letting in light from true light, I think Romans 8 might be staking a claim to be that large rose window in the back. It lets in a lot of light, and it is magnificent. So hear the word of the Lord as it comes to us from the 8th chapter of Romans. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are in fact children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we might share in his glorification. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We are indeed children of God. We are indeed children of God. I love this. We are indeed children of God. Paul uses this as one of the main ways to speak about our relationship with God, a main way to speak about our salvation. I love this. Paul refuses to let salvation just be some pie in the sky when you die idea, but rather salvation is also encompassing this whole relationship, this whole bit about the fact that we are children of God. By the power of the Spirit, we share in the relationship of the Father to the Son. We are indeed children of God. And then Paul continues, and if children, heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, we share in this relationship and we share in that inheritance. But what's at stake there? What does that mean? Well, there's a lot at stake there, but this morning we have time for two things. And in order to understand the first, we need to remember an obvious thing, that this bit in Romans 8 comes after Romans 7, Romans 6, Romans 5, Romans, all the way to Romans 1. Paul is in the middle of a long argument, and he is building on what has come. So when Paul speaks about our adoption in Christ, Paul is doing this knowing that those who are adopted are those who he has been speaking about earlier in the book. So let's remember some of these passages that we've talked about already. Maybe, for there is no one that is righteous, not even one. There is no one who has understanding. There is no one who seeks God. Or how about, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Or maybe, for the wages of sin is death. Or maybe you remember, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. There is a large bit of Romans where Paul is unpacking the reality of our sinfulness, the reality of our brokenness. And it's those very people, it is us, those who are sinful and broken, that Paul now moves to speak of because of Christ, that we are those who are adopted and who become children of God. So what that means is your past, any junk that you have, it does not exclude you from being a child of God. This is extended to you as well. Now, I know there are some out there who are thinking, God certainly would not want me to be part of his family. God wouldn't want me to be part of his family because he knows what happened between me and my boyfriend that night. Or God wouldn't want me to be part of his family. He knows my internet browsing history better than anyone else. Or God wouldn't want me to be part of his family. He knows the terrible things I've said about my friend behind her back. But here's the thing. God adopts those who are broken because of Christ. In Christ, this extension of the family of God extends even to those who have stuff in their past. Your past does not exclude you from this offer to be part of the family of God. We are indeed children of God. So your past does not exclude you. You also can't earn this. Those of you, maybe professors who have adopted someone, or maybe those of you who have been adopted would know this better than the rest of us. Parents don't go to an orphanage with a checklist, making tally marks saying, this child seems to be acting in a way which is consistent with our family, or, hey, that's a nice kid. No, you don't adopt just based off of personality. It's out of the abundance of the parent's heart that this adoption takes place. It's grace. Your past does not exclude you from this family, and you cannot earn this. God comes to you. God adopts you. God draws you into this larger family. It is God's action. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is this. Families begin to act like one another. I grew up in a medium-sized church in Cascade, Michigan. I grew up with Mike. Mike was a nice guy, but he was a little goofy. He wore moon boots before they were kind of ironically cool. He wore moon boots because you could wear them on the moon. Mike was kind of a... Does anybody remember moon boots? All right. Mike was kind of a... Mike was a little goofy, but I loved him. We went to youth group together. We went to mission trips together. We went on retreats together. I got to know Mike well. You grow up with these people. And then in high school, as just in the course of a conversation, Mike dropped what everyone assumed was a known fact, that he had been adopted as a child. And this blew me away. I had no idea that he had been adopted. I mean, he talked like his parents. He had the same laugh as his parents. He told the same stories. He told the same jokes. He acted like his parents. He had the same interests. I had no idea. And I think this is catching on to something. Families begin to act like one another. We take on one another's personalities. I've seen this with Grace and I. We've gotten married, and we've begun to take on character traits of one another. If Grace tells a funny joke, it's from me. I have the microphone. But I've taken a lot from Grace as well. Families begin to act like one another. And that's what happens with us. God adopts us. God places us in his family. We are indeed children of God. But then we begin to be shaped, and we act like those who are part of that family. We begin to tell the family stories of the Exodus. We begin to tell the family stories of the death, the dying, and the rising of Jesus Christ. We begin to know the family stories, and we begin to speak like the family. We use words like justification and sanctification. We pray, and we know that something happens at a table around a particular meal. We know that something happens as we've passed through a particular water. We know that the cross means a particular thing, and that an empty tomb is not just a mark on a landscape, but has real meaning. We participate in this family. God draws us in, places us in this family, and then shapes us in order that we might more and more be part of the family of God. And it's God who shapes us. God draws us in. God adopts us, regardless of what you have in your past. God, you cannot earn this and you cannot lose this. God adopts you. We are indeed children of God. And then in that adoption, God places us in a family. That family which is the church, which transcends tribe and nation, which transcends generations. A body that is not marked by blood, but is marked by the waters of baptism. We are placed in this family. And then God continually shapes us and forms us into the people who are his. So we have been adopted. You indeed are children of God. This is good news. This is your identity. This is who you are, beloved of the Father. So people of God, as you go into the rest of your week, know that you are part of a larger family. Let's pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you have given us a place, you have given us a family, you have given us a name. May we be formed by your Spirit in order that we might share in the likeness of Christ. We pray all of these things in your gracious name. Amen.